I want to thank Brother Luke for those devotional thoughts. Is God good when I'm in trouble? It's a thought that I had as I was listening to Brother Luke. Sometimes we have to dig harder to feel the goodness of God. But I believe God is always good. Okay. This morning, as a springboard to my message, I have a question for you. And maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't. What great king died approximately 2,000 years ago in AD 14? He lived from 63 BC to AD 14. The king was Julius Caesar. Octavian was his name. His biblical name is Julius Caesar. And he was the ruler of the Roman Emperor at the time. Let me ask you another question. What great king was born somewhere between the years of 6 and 2 BC? You should have the answer for that one. Jesus, that's right. When Jesus was born, the land of Israel was under Roman rule. The land of Israel was facing, well, they were chafing. The Jewish people were chafing under the Roman rule. They were looking for a deliverer. Octavian and his predecessor did a lot for enlarging the boundaries of the Roman kingdom. And in this era, the land of Israel came under their rule as well. And I believe during this time period, even Egypt became under the rule of the Romans. So they were ruling much of what was the then known world. My message title this morning is The Baby King. And the goal of the message is, number one, to glorify our King. Number two, to clear up some misconceptions of happenings around his birth. Number three, to give some guidance to a proper celebration of his birth. And I realize when I get into a practical topic like this, I'll probably face some disagreement, possibly from the audience right here. And I want you to bear with me. We're going to try to look at this from a scriptural basis. I need to get my map here. As I was going through my study on this, there was two things that really helped to bring some clarity to some of the early life of Jesus. One was a little bit of geography. And the other one was putting things in chronological order. So what we're going to do, first of all, is read the account. You can turn with me to Luke 1. We're going to read the account of Jesus' birth in chronological order, which means jumping back and forth a little bit between Luke and Matthew. We're going to read from Luke 1, verse 26. And we're going to read it up to verse 38. Read that at this time. Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And as we read this, pay attention to geography, because we're going to be coming back to some of that. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Keep your fingers in there and go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to read several verses from there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, keep your fingers in there. Flip back to Luke. We're going to start into Luke 2, first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I said to verse 20, but we got to continue on to verse 39. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Okay, going back to the account in Matthew. Going to look at the first 23 verses of Matthew 2. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are coming to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. And then Luke 2, verse 40 yet, And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay. I know we read some of this recently, but I felt like we needed to read it all together to get the context. First part of the message I have entitled, Our Special Jesus. And following down through Luke chapter 1, for the first number of thoughts here, verse 26, he was announced by an angel. Jesus was announced by an angel, by the heavenly beings. He was proclaimed by a messenger of God. Verse 27 then, he was born to a virgin. He was announced and born to a virgin whose name was Mary. Nobody else can claim that. But the Son of God, Jesus the Son of God, can. Going on down to verse 32. He was of the lineage of David. That was something special, something important in this setting. Verse 32 also says, He shall be called Great, Son of the Highest. Verse 33, Ruler over the house of Jacob. Not only that, verse 33 goes on to say, Ruler forever and ever. This is our Jesus, our special Jesus. Verse 35, Born of the Holy Ghost. There were many that were right around this happening that made the assumption that since Jesus was born under impossible circumstances, that he was born of sin. But that was not true. He was born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Ghost. We have it right here in the Scriptures. In Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, He shall save his people from their sins. This was our King Jesus. He came to save people from their sins. Verse 22, he was a child of prophecy. Talks here about how the prophets, verse 22, 23, prophesied about this child that would be brought forth by a virgin. Verse 23 here says, He shall be called Emmanuel. That means God with us. Jesus is God with us. He came in the flesh to be God with us. Now I want to look at circumstances before his birth. Going back to Luke 1, 26 to 38, where his birth was announced to Mary by an angel. And that is the first circumstance. An angel came to Mary. An angel came to Mary. And I'm not totally sure if the chronology here is correct on these next three events. But the next thing I see is in Matthew 1, verse 18, Joseph and Mary's engagement. They were promised to be married. And yet they had never, at this point, they had never been together in an intimate way. Because it says that when Jesus was born, it had not yet happened. Verse 19, Joseph had a trust struggle. Something impossible was happening with his girlfriend. Something impossible that the natural mind automatically has an explanation for. She was found with child. He said, that means infidelity. And he was minded to put her away, to separate, to say, no, we're not getting married after all. But then in verse 20 and 21, this course changed when an angel came to Joseph and said, this is of the Holy Ghost. This is not infidelity. This is of God. This is something special. She's going to have a son, and he is going to save people from their sins. And then we have Joseph accepting that and carrying through, continuing the relationship. And in Luke 2, verse 1, we have the census. This is under Caesar Augustus. He called all the world to be taxed. And I believe this was, I guess you would say, a taxing census. They were called to go back to their home areas so there could be a census done as they brought their tax. And we have here in the life I'm jumping ahead of myself. Luke 2, verse 3. That calls for a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And if you look at this map here, very crude, the black is the water areas. This is the Mediterranean Sea. Here's the Dead Sea. Here's the Jordan River. Here's the Sea of Galilee. The blue is, I don't know if they call them counties, regional boundaries. This is Galilee. Here's Nazareth. To go from here down to Bethlehem was a 70-mile journey. For them, it was a lot bigger journey than some of you will spend on the road today. It was 70 miles. So they started off on this journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They finally got there. A lot of other people had traveled to Bethlehem for the census too. And in verse 7 of Luke 2, we're told that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Was there room for them in the inn up until this event? I don't know. But her son, Jesus our King, was born in a stable. His palace was a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. So some of the circumstances leading up to his birth. So many of us, when we talk about the Christmas story, have a mental impression. I can say the Christmas story, and that automatically brings scenes to your mind. And I don't know what those scenes are for you, but I can almost guarantee you see Jesus in a manger, in a stable, with Joseph and Mary sitting by him. Maybe your scene then has shepherds around that. Maybe the scene you see has wise men around that. And we're going to talk about some of that. If this were done in a play, you'd probably have the shepherds coming, worshiping Jesus, leaving, and the wise men coming in. But I don't believe that's the way it was. And we're going to see as we continue through these scriptures why. Third part of the message is Jesus' royal birth. Luke 2, verse 7. His palace was a stable. He was born in a stable. Verse 17. I'm sorry, it's still verse 7, I believe. His cradle was a manger. We talk sometimes, read sometimes about stories from the early days of America. They had straw ticks that they slept on. And to me, I'm glad for the mattresses we have today. But Jesus didn't even have a straw tick. He was laying in the hay. Verse 10 to 14 then. Jesus' royal birth was celebrated by the angels. It says the angels were there. But actually talks about an angel and then a multitude appearing with the angel. The angel is there talking to them, telling the shepherds about Jesus' birth. He's in Bethlehem. A Savior, Christ the Lord. And as he finishes speaking to them, we see a multitude of angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." The angels were happy. They were celebrating. Verses 15 to 16 then, when the angels went into heaven, we see celebrated by the shepherds. The shepherds went right away to Bethlehem to worship, to fall down and worship. And then next we see as they left there, they were proclaiming to the people of Bethlehem that Jesus is born. It was proclaimed abroad by the shepherds. Verse 18, what was the reaction of the people? It says they wondered. Many of them were mystified. They did not understand what was going on. But the shepherds went their way rejoicing. Verse 19 talks about Mary pondering the things that she saw and heard of these people in her heart. Many people were mystified. Mary chose to take those things and meditate on them and listen to them. Okay, now the happenings following Jesus' birth, part 4. Verse 21. The eighth day of Jesus' life, he was circumcised, and he was named Jesus. That was Jewish custom. The eighth day that these two ceremonies would take place. Verse 22. After the days of her purification, that means 40 days from birth, they went to the temple in Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, to give their dedication, to dedicate another Jewish male to the Lord. Verses 25 to 37, then, we see Simeon and Anna meeting them in the temple and telling them who this child really was. They, by the Spirit, told the parents who Jesus really was. Verse 38, we have Anna proclaiming of Jesus to those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Did everybody get this message? Doesn't seem like it. It says she told those who looked for redemption. She knew those who were looking for Jesus. And she went and told them the good news. Verse 39, after they were finished in the temple, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And then the focus of the story changes as we go to Matthew 2. This family is in Nazareth. Wise men from the east see a star. And we don't know exact timetables here, but they came to Jerusalem. They knew the star meant the King of the Jews was born. And they came to Jerusalem to find out where he was. And they were told, Herod gathered the Jewish scribes together. And they said, well, Jesus is going to be born in Jerusalem. We have it in prophecy. We have it in prophecy. And so Herod went back to the wise men and said, go look for him in Bethlehem. And he asked them, when did you first see the star? When did you first see that star? And they told him. They gave him a time period. We don't have that recorded right here. But then we see here in... losing my place here. They went out, and in verses 9 and 10, when they got out of the presence of Herod, it says, they saw the same star that they had seen in the east, and the star was moving. And so they followed the star, and the star came and stood over the house where Jesus was. Notice it was a house. It was not a stable. And they went in and found Mary and Jesus. And they gave him gifts and worshipped him. And then it says they went a different way into their country. I believe what I would understand from this account, the wise men came from the east, from countries over here, to Jerusalem. That was the capital. That's where the king was. Herod sent them to Bethlehem. But when they got out, it says they followed the star, and it took them to the house where they found Mary and Jesus. And then they did not come back to Jerusalem to tell Herod. They went back east. And then after that, verses 13 to 14, an angel came to Joseph and said, Herod knows about this child, and he's going to do his best to kill him. Get him out of Israel. Get him to Egypt. And Egypt is down here. So they made a journey from Nazareth on down through, this here is Judea, this blued off section, Maybe came down through here, I don't know. But they came on down to Egypt. And that's where they were until the death of Herod, which could have possibly been within a couple of years. Verses 19 and 20. Well, actually, verses 16 and 18. We've got to look at that. Herod finally realized that these wise men are never going to come back to him. And he got furious and ordered the death of all boys 2 years old and under. And I'm not sure if that means up to the second birthday or if that means between the second and third birthday, but it says two and under in Bethlehem and the areas around Bethlehem, the scriptures tell us. It says he based that age on the timetable given to him by the wise men. The wise men were not present immediately after Jesus' birth. There was some time lapse there. Okay, 19 and 20. Herod dies, and an angel comes to Joseph again in Egypt and says, Herod's gone. You can come back into Israel. Verse 21, they're coming from Egypt up through Judea. They didn't have the media we have today. They didn't have the television, the internet, the newspapers. And the messengers were not carrying Israel's news, that kind of news, to Egypt. It wasn't until they got into Judea that they heard who was the new king. And it says they were afraid. And God came to him again and said, go on into Galilee. And it says they went, let me just look at that verse here. Verse 22. Being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. I don't know if that meant that he had intended to stay in Judea, his ancestral home, or if that means that he diverted his course, took a different route into Galilee. But he went back to Galilee. And then Luke 2, verse 40 tells us that's where Jesus grew up. And if we read on, he passed up several of his birthdays there. He was there his 12th birthday. They traveled from there to Jerusalem. This is his first experience in the temple. Misconceptions. Where was Jesus born? I want to hear from you. As we looked at these scriptures, where was Jesus born? In a manger in Bethlehem. That's right. We have that right. Where did the shepherds find him? Same place. That's right. And when was it? That's right. Same place, same day. Same day of his birth. Did the shepherds have gifts for Jesus? They did? Okay, what were the gifts? Okay. In our Luke passage, I'm not sure if they did. I'm not sure if they did. We'll discuss it later. They came from their work right to the manger. They were out tending sheep, and they went right to the manger. And then, when did the wise men find Jesus? What do you know about that?
They found him when they followed the star.
That's right. They followed the star. They had a journey. They were out here, and they had several days' journey to come. Did they start right away? I don't know. But they were not there the day of Jesus' birth, because they had a journey to come into Jerusalem. They came from the east, the Bible tells us. And so they followed the star to where Jesus was. And as I was reading through this passage, I always had kind of the mental picture that Jesus was in Bethlehem, and maybe he was 5 or 6 days old now, and the wise men found him. But as I read through this, it looks to me like he was back in Nazareth when the wise men found him. He was back in Nazareth in their house. Continuing on, how many wise men were there? We don't know. I expect you're right. The only basis we would have for assuming three wise men is three types of gifts. But that's a rather weak basis, I think. Somebody can go through a birthday and have a money shower. Everybody gave money. What did they get for their birthday? Money. But it came from many people. And I think the same thing probably happened here. I don't think this was an insignificant parade that came into Jerusalem. It says when they came and asked about the king of the Jews, Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled. This was not something insignificant. This was a major event. How did the wise men travel? Again, we don't know. We can make some assumptions based on their culture. Yes, they probably did ride camels, but because of where they lived, they had to come across a desert. And that's why I think, too, that they probably did ride camels, but the scripture does not confirm that for sure. Did the wise men give gifts to Jesus? Absolutely. The gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, it's right here in the scriptures. They did do that. Another question, just a little bit of a side dish, but it comes back to this story. Is Mary the mother of God?
Yes.
Is she the mother of God? She brought to light the Son of God. But there's a whole religion built on the idea of Mary being the mother of God. And don't fall for that for a minute. Mary is not God's mother. The scriptures tell us that God always was. Okay. Running out of time here. Sixth point, lessons we need to learn. Here is a story that's very familiar. And yet, in these few minutes here, we've talked about many misconceptions that are deep-seated in Christianity today. Lesson number one I'd like us to learn is the devil is out to confuse. He is out to confuse. He will use many mediums. Christmas time today, one of them we see is religious folklore. Things that are just passed down from generation to generation. One of them is Santa Claus. Is Santa Claus a valid part of the story of Jesus' birth? I think Santa Claus today is an idol. He's an idol. He's an alternative. The other one is accounts of the Christmas story. You know, the devil has confused those. And again, some of these scenes that we automatically get in our minds can be idols. I remember walking into the home of one of my relatives, and seeing a manger scene. It was pretty. But I was told this by the children. Don't you dare touch that. You'll be in trouble with Mom. Was that there to worship Jesus, or was it an idol? As I look back today, the course that family took, I believe it was an idol. It was the center of their worship rather than Jesus. Another thing that the devil uses is not just stuff passed verbally, but written messages. And these can come to us in so many ways. It can be internet. It can be religious papers. There's so many ways that this can come to us. Getting a little closer home. It can be Bible translations where the name of Jesus is removed. The name of God is removed. Just enough editing to make things more obscure. Or other books. There are a lot of religious books out there that people are hollering for us to follow. What is the inspired Word of God? The guideline I would like to lay out for us is, what did Jesus use? What did Jesus use? The text itself, does it claim to be inspired? Some things to consider. There are many books out there hollering for attention. We have the Quran. We have the Catholic Bible. The Apocrypha. We have the Book of Mormon. Put that test to all of them, and you will know what is the inspired Word of God. Today we have movies. Countless times, people have told me something about the story of Jesus. And they said, I know it was this way because I saw it on the movie. I saw it on the movie. And was it something that the makers of that movie intended to present falsely? Or was it just something by dramatizing a story that appeared as part of the incidents? I don't know. But I want to say there is going to be errors in anything that we try to create. Safety is in sticking with the text, reading the scriptures. What about some other books? Commentaries, Bible dictionaries. And I'm not saying that all the reading I'm mentioning is wrong reading. We can get some good ideas from it, but remember, it's not the inspired Word of God. Josephus, a very popular historian. We have no record that he was any kind of a Christian. It's a historical account. And it was preserved by men. Just one example. The devil's out to confuse. Another thing he uses is Christian preachers. There are many people out there preaching, either just picking out the things in Scripture that will tingle the ears, or worse yet, twisting it to their benefit. God forbid. I got to draw this to a close somehow. I got two more points here yet. The practice of Christmas today is not about Christ. Read in your own time sometime Jeremiah 10:1-10. Write that down and read it. It's not given in the context of Christmas, but it sounds an awful lot like Christmas is celebrated today. It talks about him going into the woods, finding a tree, propping it up, anchoring it down, and just spending their time around that tree. The practice of Christmas today, in reality, is largely about making money. It's about idolatry. It's about making impressions. It's about getting things. Did you know that December 25 is not Christ's birthday? I don't think anybody really has a basis for calling it Christ's birthday. In this account, what time of the year was it? What time of the year do you think it was? And what tells you that? It was sometime in the fall. There were shepherds out keeping sheep. There was a sky that they could see stars in. Some clues that we have. And I realized that they were in a different geographical area. But our time of the year right now would be the rainy season. It'd be a rainier time of the year, when not the time when the shepherds are out keeping the sheep, but after they've brought them back home. A proper practice of Christmas, I wish I could spend more time on this, but let's remember Christ. Let's remember the reason he came. Let's share Christ's love with others. These are things that are proper anytime. But if you have an opportunity this time of the year to share Christ that you don't other times, seize it. Take it. A lot of us enjoy our family gatherings. And I think they have their place, but I think we need to be careful that it does not crowd out the real meaning of Christmas, that it supports it rather than crowds it out. It can do either. Romans 14, 5 to 8. Again, I wish I had time to read that. I see I'm well over time already. Talks about celebration of a holy day. It says some will do it one way, some will do it the other. Let's all do it to the Lord. There's some variation here. You don't have to be exactly like me. But by all means, do what you do unto the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.